Sharpologist.com.
You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to observing the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Brelli, and today is March 18th, 2019. All right, guys, welcome back to the podcast, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well. Happy St. Joseph's Day to you coming up tomorrow, actually, on the 19th, traditionally 2 days after St. Patrick's Day. So big week out here for celebrating name days if your name is Patrick and Joe, as mine is. And so get yourself some corned beef, some Guinness beer, and some St. Joseph's Day pastries. And for all of you out there that really know about St. Joseph's Day, some pasta cansarde, which is it's actually a pasta dish made from fennel and tomato sauce and a special pasta that we have to commemorate St. Joseph's Day. Well, if you've had it, you know what I'm talking about there when I say, oh, well. So, guys, today on the show, we have the... I actually was able to get in contact with, or he got in contact with me, of the inventor of the razor emoji, believe it or not. Yes, we are getting into the 21st century with wet shaving. The razor emoji is coming out. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. I actually met the guy, or actually we spoke on the via email regarding this new creation coming out. He put a lot of time and effort into it, so very excited about that. Ross Shaving and Delta Echo closed their doors. That's right. Two vendors decided to shut down recently. We're going to talk about that and see how the industry will be affected by them. The Tredier Razor article came out. If you're a fan of Tredier Razors, they are a razor that came out about, I think we're talking about 7-8 years ago now. I did some research on it and was able to actually meet the owner or via email and speak to the person behind the actual razor, and just did a little dedication article, which is something that I really enjoy doing. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. And adjustable or not, what's your choice? This will be a little contest. I have something special that I'm not going to mention on the air that I'd like to give to you. It'd be just a random gift that I have, a few gifts that I have I'd like to give out, and it'll be based on your answer, and the best one that I get, I will share on the show. All right, guys, without further ado, let's get on with the show. So Razor Emoji is on the way, and I was really fortunate enough to speak with the actual inventor of the Razor Emoji. His name is Chris, and he's put a lot of time and effort into making the emoji. Now, Okay, I know I'm not the most technologically advanced and most internet savvy person out there, but if you don't know what emoji is like the little pictures you could send, text message or voice message or like personal message on Facebook or something like that. You could put, it's like a little picture to describe what you're talking about, I guess, right? You could say, for example, last night I went and bought a steak to cook barbecue, and when I was text messaging my wife, hey, I'm going to get a steak, a picture of a steak came up. That's an emoji. So a razor emoji is on the way, and Chris has put a lot of time and effort. He sent me an email with all the technical specs on this, and to be honest, you know, it's something that I never really thought of when looking into my phone every day. You know, oh, how do these pictures come up? I guess there's actually a process, and you can submit them, and Chris actually did this for wet shaving, for razors. So I didn't include the picture on the actual show notes because I couldn't figure out how to copy and paste it, and plus I don't know if there's any trademarking or anything like that. I didn't get approval, so I'll wait until the actual emoji comes out to do that. But it's like a picture of a basic straight razor. It's pretty cool, and it should be coming out, I guess, in the very near future. Chris said it will be coming out very soon, so be on the lookout for that on your phone or on the next iPhone update. I mean, again, I don't really know much about this kind of stuff. I don't know how they do that, but it should be out soon, and I guess it'll be widespread. So, Chris, we got to give you we salute you. We have to give you a Wet Shaving Talk salute because this is something going out of the box. This is definitely a big deal. So, Chris, we salute you from the Wet Shaving Talk podcast, and look forward to hearing more about this emoji, and can't wait to see it come out, and I will use it when talking to my wet shaving friends and others as well, because I cannot, you know, how can I not use it? That's just so cool. It just really shows how we're coming back up in the world. We're bringing wet shaving back, and now it's going to be on actual internet and phone forums as well. So, I mean, keep up the good work, Chris. Thank you very much. We salute you here at the podcast. So, after speaking to a couple of people online, and this week was a really, it was a big week for wet shaving. You had Delta Echo just kind of disappeared off the earth. If you're unfamiliar with Delta Echo, Delta Echo is a restoration company for straight razors. And what they did was they were known for doing like powder coating and painting razors and making them different designs, like taking a Fat Boy and turning it into a Stormtrooper razor. Or taking Slim Adjustable and just rebuilding it and then painting it with a different color paint scheme and stuff like that. Also sent out special boxes and stuff. It was really cool. Good company. I didn't really work with them as much as I probably should have. And I never really, with my razors, because I leave my razors alone. I don't really restore them or anything. With my vintage adjustables, I keep them, in really just working condition. So I didn't never really sent one out to get fixed. So I don't know about the service or anything like that. I can't comment on that. But I can comment on the stuff I see online. And a lot of the razors are really cool color schemes. So not sure what happened. There was no real formal announcement yet, but it just, their website is gone. Everything has disappeared with the exception of their Twitter, which hasn't been updated in the last 3 years. So I'm guessing they're no longer working with the wet shaving world. Now, if they do come back, I'll definitely mention it on the show and looking forward to hopefully seeing them soon. And if not, there are some other companies out there that do the same process as well. So also, Raw Shaving. We discussed Raw Shaving briefly here. Raw Shaving was a made in the USA razor, high end, super high end, at around $375 at the starting price, or $250 or whatever. They were high priced razors, 100% stainless steel, known for their really cool like razor stance, right? But their advertising campaign was a little different. They were going on shave raffles. They were going through different ventures of the hobby, and they decided that they are shutting down, and whatever inventory is left will be the last of their inventory. So here are my thoughts. A lot of people will say, oh, companies are closing. We've talked about this a lot on the podcast. I've mentioned this many times about when a company closes. Is the industry crashing or going down? No, I don't think the industry is going down, but I think it's difficult when you have a niche and a niche community. And we've talked about this probably in the past, maybe a year or two ago. Raw shaving was a niche in a niche. Wet shaving is a niche. It's still a niche community. It's still a niche hobby, right? We're taking up a thing that everybody does, millions of people do, maybe even billions of people that do, and we're taking it and we're putting our own spin on it by using, for example, classic razors or different razors or different designs. It's kind of like with automobiles, driving a classic car or a car built to be like a classic. Like say you use a brand new safety razor, it's kind of like, okay, I'm using a safety razor it would be like I'm driving a car with technology from the 1950s. Okay, that would be similar to using a safety razor. It would be more like a West Coast chopper. If you ever watch West Coast choppers or with the motorcycles, right? You take a real good concept, you make it cool, you make it custom, but it's still an older fashioned motorcycle. You know, that's how I think of it when we talk about new straight safety razors or custom safety razors, because there are technologies out there. Now, it doesn't always mean the technology is better, right? The five blades and all that doesn't mean that it's better, but it does mean that it is what the masses are using, right? That and electric razors and other forms of, shaving as well. So Raw Shaving was a big company, was a company that came in with a big idea. And they came in with a razor that was high priced and had beautiful casing, beautiful stands, including accessories, but they were all pretty expensive. I remember looking on their website, seeing a kit with a stand and two razors or somewhat and a brush, and it was like $1,200. And looking at that, that's kind of out of my price range. It's out of a lot of people's price range. So when you take a niche in a niche, you're already limiting your audience. And I think what they did is, you see Raw Shaving, they went to Neiman Marcus, they were in department stores online and stuff. They try to really get mainstream. And it just didn't work. I don't think, because I didn't really see them around too much. when you take a niche and a niche and say, okay, so there, say there's 100,000 wet shavers in the world and 20,000 of them use razors over $100 and 5,000 use razors over $200. Eventually, once all of those guys have that razor, you really aren't, your audience is done selling it, if it means, if you understand. You have a razor, it's not like it's a bottle of wine or a bottle of spirits, it's eventually going to be gone. The razor is there for life. I mean, these razors are built well, justifying their price. There's nothing, nobody's saying anything about the build quality. But how many raw razors would I buy in my lifetime? Really only going to buy one. So once you hit everybody in that niche, and you have, and you've sold them all those razors, to get to that razor to more people, it's going to be difficult, right? It's not going to be very easy. Same thing, I think, with Delta Echo. If this razor, if this company, if he just said, hey, I don't want to do it anymore, or hey, it's just not making money, I don't know. It's hearsay here. I don't know. I didn't speak to the owner. But I'm saying is that it's a niche in a niche. And there's a lot of competition in this area of restoration of razors, believe it or not, for a niche in a niche. So it gets difficult. And I think that when working with these vendors, you have to realize that they're really, really limited on their audience. And sometimes I think that they get a lot of customer service issues or a lot of questions. Maybe not customer service issues, but they get a lot of questions from people out there saying, hey, can you help me with this? Can you give me this? Can I get that? I didn't make it on the list. Can I get that? And it gets to the point where like, hey, I can't do this anymore. It's just not worth it. I'm not sure if this is the situation, but I can just see that happening in areas like this. But with raw shaving, I can just tell you, I think the razor was great. I think it was a great quality product. I'm sure it was. I never bought one because, unfortunately, it was just a little bit, you know, too pricey for my need. You know, it didn't have the collectability that I was looking for if I'm going to spend that kind of a money on razor, right? But I think that the idea was there, was good. I just think that maybe the market's not ready for that yet. I think that the reason why cheaper razors like Mercure, right, have been around so long is because their prices, they're priced right they're affordable and they can get into more people's hands, right? I've had some talk about this on the podcast, talking about, you know, very expensive products and then talking about, you know, regular everyday products. And I guess the reason why we don't talk about everyday products so much is because the availability is there. You know, every day I can go and buy an HD Mercure tomorrow, anywhere, 10, 15 sites. I know it's always going to be there. I think with the raw shaving aspect is it was always there. Like, it was always in stock. When you look at like Wolfman or Charcoal Goods, you look at those kind of razors with higher end razors or Paradigm, they're never in stock. So everybody's like always talk, oh, I want one. But when it's there, I guarantee if there was 500 of them there in stock, maybe maybe what we're talking about here wouldn't be as crazy, right? Maybe we wouldn't be as all over the place trying to get one and talking about them all the time and overpaying for them. If the availability was there. So I think that's another issue that raw shaving might have done. Maybe they were too out there. They were in too many retailers and they weren't limited enough. And I don't know if that's the right way of doing business, but I can tell you that it does work with hype and demand, right? It just get people go crazy about the hype. So take it for what it's worth, guys. You know, I don't think anything's wrong with wet shaving. I just think two vendors are pulling out and decided to move on to other adventures or other ideas. Those are just my thoughts. Again, I don't know the actual financials to the story or any opinions. I did try to reach out to both companies, and I did not get a response back. So I did reach out via email, but unfortunately, up until now, I did not receive any callback or anything like that. So anyway, guys, we salute you as well. We hope that everything works out well with your vendors and with your businesses and your new ventures as well. And if you are interested in buying a raw shaving razor, they are still available in some some retailers still have them in stock. So check them out and get them before they're gone if that's something that you really want, because it will be gone for good as soon as it's out of stock. So we talked a little bit about Tredier razors, right? We've talked about them in the past. So I wrote an article based on them. If you have time, guys, check it out. It's actually on Sharpologist. If you do have time, check it out. It was really a fun article to write, and it was really an interesting razor. And what my goal is with these dedication articles is to basically preserve something for the future generations. You know, when I was researching for Gillette, or if you look for a lot of stuff in Gillette, it's really hard to find production numbers on certain items. It's hard to find out a first first like person point of view because nobody is around anymore. Like, for example, Double Ring was 1903. There aren't many guys around that were shaving back in 1903 or 1904 that can tell you about what happened when Gillette was on shelves. Right? Shelves everywhere. Store shelves. So, granted, that was a little difficult doing that, going back in time for 115 years. But now it's not so bad if the guys are here. So I'm saying right now what I'm trying to do is write articles in order to have something for the future generations. And I hope that you guys enjoy it as well. It's a good read. Check it out. I really appreciate the support from everybody and all the really nice comments I've been getting about it. And thank you very much for the Wet Shaving community for still being interested in old stuff like that, right? And talking about some razors that aren't being produced anymore. Which I think is probably most of our hobby, is talking about vintage stuff. And I never thought of it like the Weber, like a Weber razor, a Tredier razor will eventually be vintage, you know? It's already been 7 or 8 years since they've been out. And they haven't been made in a while. So you're looking at razors and stuff like that, that maybe a BBS-1 from you know, Los Angeles Shave Soap Company will be a vintage razor and be something sought after. I mean, sought after right now, but will continue. You don't know, and I don't think anybody knew back with Gillette, owning a Gillette and using it every day, that it would be a collectible, you know, 50, 60, 70 years later. So it's just really cool then to have the information to read it and actually to be able to contact the owner or the person that runs the company and be able to speak to them and have a first and actually get all of those facts together in an article. Because one thing I do know is that article, you know, word of mouth can go, but articles and written work doesn't. So I do this for the Wet Shaving community, and I hope you guys enjoy it. So take a look at it on Sharpologist if you get a chance regarding Tredier razors. And let me know what you think. You can send me an email or you can comment right there on the actual page. Alright guys, so talking about adjustable razors. Okay, so this is something that is very controversial. Do you like adjustable razors? And if you do, why? Right? Do you not like adjustable razors? This is something that I'm looking for out of some wet shavers out there. Please email me at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com with your thoughts. The best story will get a special gift. And I'm telling you, this gift is nice. You'll be very impressed with it. It's going to be a secret. It was something that was given to me by a vendor that I tested and tried, and I'd like to let somebody else try it as well. And this is going to be really special. So, adjustable or not, what's your choice? Why do you like it? So I'm going to tell you mine right now. I like both, but I am really particular with non-adjustable razors. And I know there are a lot of people out there looking at me saying, oh no, Joe, I can't believe you said that. I am really into higher gap aggressive safety razors, right? I don't, and yes, an adjustable razor will do that, but I find them to be a little bulky. And when you're using them at a high, like a 9 setting on a Gillette, for me, it's just not as efficient as using a regular high gap safety razor, if that makes sense. So I enjoy fixed blades. And just three-piece razors, right? I like the old-fashioned style. I like even new, but I do use mostly new razors now, but I have my share of vintages. I love the Gillette Slim. Better than the Fat Boy. I think it shaves better than the Fat Boy just because it's slimmer, it's easier to maneuver around my nose. The Fat Boy is a great razor too, right? The Mercurio Progress, great razor. Probably one of the best adjustables that you can get daily for years and years and years. And it's just fun to use, and it's also readily available and a good price. Also, I think the Rex Adjustable is great. I think the new Model T from Rockwell has been getting great reviews. I'm yet to get one. I'm looking to get one, but I think the build quality on that, I think they worked out all the kinks, and those guys over there at Rockwell, they really are dedicated to producing a good product. I know they were late, and a lot of people, that was one of the number one emails I got, was how come Rockwell hasn't come out with the Model T yet? And then my response to everybody that used to send that to me was, hey, give them time. They're really working. I mean, think about it. The dedication these two young guys have with their company and how they're trying to work out all the kinks to make sure you get a perfect product. I think they did a great job with it from what I've heard, the reviews, and just looking online. So I'm hopefully going to get one soon to test and try it out. I'm going to purchase one. The price is right. It's $119. It's not too overly priced for an adjustable razor. So, yeah, check that out too. But yeah, if you ask me a question, do you like adjustables or not? Or I do prefer both. I do love both razors. But if you give me a choice, I would probably take the non-adjustable. And that's just because of the way I am. I like those aggressive razors. And I also like heavy stainless steel. And I don't like the moving parts as much. But I would appreciate both. So let me know your thoughts in a paragraph or so. And I'll share it on the show and send you something nice. I have plenty of stuff. I'm actually right now, guys, if you believe it or not, I'm on a card table in my old house doing this last podcast here because I don't have internet in the new house. I just moved last week and going through the move, and my wife is 8 months pregnant. Boy, oh boy, we got a lot going on. So we have definitely blessed in that aspect, but I am sitting on a card table and a milk crate practically just doing this podcast in the old house. So thank you guys for everything. I wanted to say that in advance. Remember, our show is powered by Sharpologist.com. What your father didn't teach you about shaving. All right, special thanks to Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59, and most of all, you guys, the listeners. Without you, there would be no podcast and no reason to talk every single week about wet shaving. Actually, maybe there would be, but it wouldn't be as fun. No, that's right. I need you guys, and I love you guys very much. So thank you for all listening every week for the last 3 years. And we're going to continue going, right? So don't forget to check out my blog site, ShaveStraightAndSafe.com, and check out my YouTube channel with the link in the show notes. As always, guys, thank you for listening. And our next show will be, let me look at my calendar, our next show will be the 31st of March. Yes, that's right. 31st of March will be our next show. I'm looking at Sunday. It's April 1st, April Fool's Day coming up. That'll be our April Fool's Day show. I promise, no crazy jokes. Until then, guys, shave straight and shave safe. Thank you and bye-bye now.